7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Tomakundis. All right. What are we doing? Yes, I know. It's 1930 UTC. We all know what that means. Yes, it's time to begin another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. Yes, hello. Welcome. Welcome to another exciting episode. My name is Tobe, I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and sitting here on my lap is the Sergeant at Arms of the Dubious Goals Committee, and her name is Peppa, and she's very fluffy. Hello, Fluffy Face. Fluffy Face is just sitting here looking at me doing, oh, we're doing that committee thing again? Do you do this every day? Yeah, we do it every damn day. 1930 UTC. Oh, now she's turning around. Oh, you got to do some turning around? Kitties are doing some turning around, and then they're going to sit down. Hi, yes. You're a good baby. Okay, so here we go. What day is today? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? I don't even know. I don't even care. Because I've had so many exciting things happen to me in the last 24 hours. Oh, my goodness. A super exciting thing number one. The city came by and they installed a new speed limit sign out on the light post outside my house. There's a light post it's kind of on the property line between my house and Shannon's house. And there's a speed limit sign on it. And well, they came yesterday and they replaced the speed limit sign. The old sign was perfectly fine. It was still good and everything. And they decided to replace it. And I was really excited. And I watched this replacement. And the first thing I did when the new sign was installed is I put on my shoes. I put on my coat because it's very cold outside. And I ran out there and I looked at the back of the sign. And yes, they wrote the date on the back of the sign. It says 11/22. And I came back inside and I emailed my friend Doug. Doug that you've heard all about here on the Dubious Goals Committee, the legendary Douglas. I emailed Doug and I said, hey, they replaced the speed limit sign on the pole outside my house and they wrote the date on the back. And there's probably a lot of people out there wondering, why would you be so excited about this? It's hard to explain. It takes way too long to explain. And there's a lot of explaining to do today on the Dubious Goals Committee. Lots of tea to drink, too. I'm drinking Che Guanyin. What a surprise. So, I woke up this morning, made my breakfast. Yes, pepperoni and waffles. Made the tea, of course. And then I fired up the trusty computer, opened my email, and I got a response from my friend Doug that says, huh, signs, yes, they have the date written on the back of them. And then he launched into a story about what happened to him over the weekend. Which is where we're going with this now. So, my friend Doug, he likes to run. He's a running guy. He's the guy that needs to run marathons and 10K races. And you're just that guy, right? Okay, so he was up in Valentine, Nebraska. Yes, Valentine, Nebraska is a real place. And he went up there for some kind of running event. And this is where the story starts. He's told me that he was standing amongst a group of people at the finish line of one of the races, and he was waiting for the race to finish. Okay, whatever. This was one that he was not in, apparently. And as he was standing there, waiting for the race to end, he was standing kind of next to a guy who was telling the person that he was with a kind of a peculiar little story. And Doug, standing right next to this guy, hears this little story. And the one line that captured Doug's attention was, "Yeah, I worked on this 30-foot rocket that blew up." Okay. That's an interesting thing to say. What's a 30-foot rocket? Well, that's 10 meters for my normal science people. And Doug turned to the guy and said, "Hey, that's weird." Because the guy also mentioned the date or the year or something. He said, "Yeah, I worked on a 30-foot rocket that blew up back in 1999. And Doug heard this, of course, and he turns to this guy, who he thought was a complete and utter stranger, and he said, "You know, that's interesting, because back in 1999, I also worked on a 30-foot rocket that blew up." And the guy says, "Wait, are you from Omaha? What's your name?" And Doug says, "My name's Doug." And the guy says, "Oh my God, my name is so-and-so." And sure enough, this guy and his kid was, what, 10 years old at the time. Yeah, they were on Team Redstone with us. And this guy's standing there waiting for his kid, who's now 33 years old, to finish this marathon or race or whatever it is. And blah, blah, blah. They get to chatting about good old times. 23 years ago, all this wacky stuff we did. Blonkity donkity donkity doo. And it was like old home week up in Valentine, I guess. So anyway, Doug relates this story to me and I laugh. Let me pour some more tea here. And so I sent an email back to Doug saying, "Hey, do you know if there's any footage of that online? Because I was looking for footage of this about, I don't remember when, it's been a while, it's about probably a year. At one point in time, there was footage of this, and there was a lot of press coverage of this event, and the Discovery Channel was there, and where's all this damn footage? Anyway, I haven't been able to find anything for a couple years. So yesterday, I emailed Doug back telling him, "You know, I can't find any of this stuff." And then after I sent that email, I said, "Well, I better check again. I haven't checked in a while." And of course, I used a different search engine this time. And yeah, I found a really crappy video of, well, our rocket blowing up. Found something, and then Doug emailed me back and he found something kind of good. But anyway, yeah, so back in 1999, both Doug and myself were part of Team Redstone. And what did Team Redstone do? Well, Team Redstone decided that it would be a good idea to build a 1/3 scale model of Alan Shepard's Mercury Redstone rocket, the one that launched him into orbit and made him, what, the second man in space? Or did he orbit or not? Or no, Glenn orbited. It doesn't matter. Publius will now jump into comm here and explain to us what order these events happened, etc., etc. So, yeah. For about a year or so, Doug and I, along with, oh, I don't know, probably about a dozen or 15 other people, spent a lot of time and money in building a 1/3 scale Mercury Redstone. one-third scale. Yeah, that's pretty damn big. It ends up being 30-plus feet tall. It's 10 meters tall. And we built a beautiful, beautiful representation of this rocket. Looked really good. And we put a giant motor in it. Big, fat P motor. A P motor with a blue lightning formulation. Solid rocket fuel. Ammonium perchlorate. This damn motor was a good... I remember holding it like this. So it's a good 6 inches or more in diameter. Call it 7 inches in diameter. That's about 18 centimeters. And it was a good meter and a half long. Maybe a little bit longer. Big motor. Big motor. Big, big motor. P. P motor. Remember all those little rockets that... those model rockets that you launched when you were a kid with the A, B, and C motor? Yeah, this is P motor. P as in Paul. P as in popcorn. Yeah, and what happened? We pushed the button, it blew up.
Bye.
Awesome. That was Light My Fire by Ananda Shankar. Very cool. So where was I? Yeah, the rocket blew up, but I didn't push the button. I was downrange, standing in the back of a pickup truck. Who pushed the button? Well, none other than Laura Shepherd, Alan Shepherd's daughter. Yes, there we were. There we were. In the middle of a huge cornfield just outside of the small Kansas town of Argonia. On a very hot and dusty but extraordinarily dry day. LDRS 18. LDRS. LDRS is an annual rocket launch. Is it safe? You tell me. LDRS stands for Large and Dangerous Rocket Ships. Why are they dangerous? Because they're big. They're heavy. They weigh a lot, and they're made by a bunch of amateurs. Pippa, are you getting back in the kitty business pit or not? Are you just going to sit there? Don't eat the wires. Do not chew on the wires, not kitty spaghetti. And don't chew on the anti-static. Don't chew on anything. Right, so there I was. At LDRS 18, 1999. It is experimental day. You know, this is what, a week long? This is 4 days? 4 days of launching very large rockets out in the middle of nowhere. We got windows to 150,000 feet. Okay. We're not screwing around here, people. And so the day comes where we've got to launch this giant rocket, the largest model rocket ever built. This 1/3 scale Mercury Redstone. We spent a couple of days assembling it, putting it all together, doing all this stuff, getting it up on the launch tower, that and the other thing. The time comes to finally launch it. I'm on a recovery team. I gotta watch the ejection tower and do the whole this blah blah blah. So we get all this stuff out on the line. And yeah, everybody else is safely behind the firing line. I'm downrange. Is this the best place to be? Well, it's a good place to be if you want to recover your rocket. If you want to see where all the pieces are going. Because once this thing hits apogee, it's going to come apart in 5 pieces. And so everybody's got to find the piece that they're assigned to find, right? So there's a bunch of rockets that have to be launched before ours. And so I'm standing downrange, like I said, in the back of a pickup truck. Doug is with me. There's some people in the cab of the truck. We got to track rocket parts. How far downrange are we? I don't know. We're a good kilometer or two. We're a couple of clicks downrange. And when I say downrange, what does that mean? Well, downrange means you are in the place where the rocket is going to land. If it lands properly. If everything goes well. If nothing goes wrong, like the parachutes fail to deploy. Yeah, does that happen? Yeah, does it happen very often? Well, it doesn't matter how often it happens. Because one of the other rockets that was going to go up before ours was a massive, massive altitude attempt. Somebody was going for an altitude record. And so they had this very, very special rocket that can only be launched under certain conditions, like being at this LDRS thing, blah, 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 experimental day, blah, blah, blah. It's got to go up before ours. And yeah, so there I am, standing in the back of a pickup truck, couple clicks downrange, and I get to watch this altitude attempt go up. This is a nice rocket. And it's got a big motor in it, a big fast motor. There's no people in these rockets. There's no living organisms. You can accelerate them as fast as you want. Boom! This thing goes flying off the rail. Zow! Okay, it's out of sight before you can blink, right? And then we get the news that it failed to deploy. And it's coming in ballistic. What does this mean? It failed to deploy and it's coming in ballistic. Well, what that means is it got to Apogee and it failed to eject its parachutes. And the rocket has now nosed over and it's coming down in a ballistic trajectory, meaning it's coming straight down. It's coming down as fast as it went up. And that's when you start hearing it. And you start hearing that very freaky sound of that rocket whistling. And it's coming down, you can hear it, and it's... Okay, you're hearing that, right? And it's getting a little bit louder. What can you do? You're out in the middle of nowhere. Nothing. There's no trees. There's no buildings. There's no nothing. There's no cover. You can't hide. You cannot run. You don't know which direction to run. You can't see the rocket that's coming down on your ass at, you know, now at Mach 1.2 or whatever. And it doesn't do a damn good to do anything because things start going in through your mind. You start thinking, okay, yeah. This rocket's coming in ballistic. If it hits me, I am going to die. Oh, what should I do? Should I jump out of the back of this pickup truck and get under the pickup? No, because if the rocket hits the pickup, it's going through the pickup. There's nothing stopping it. There's nothing that's going to block the rocket. There's no umbrella. There's no nothing. You just got to stand there. So I was having this very interesting existential experience in the back of this pickup truck, wondering, huh, am I about to die? And then the worst part of it is then the whistling stops. And it's not because the rocket's down yet. It's just because it's gotten past the whistling part. And, you know, I was sort of counting the seconds in my head, but when you're in this kind of state, you're not counting, right? And then we realized, well, yeah, it must be down by now. Yeah. We didn't hear anything. We didn't see anything. But, like, the next day, the hole was found that this rocket made. And normally when something like this happens, you don't bother. You don't bother trying to dig the rocket out because it's way down in the underground. You're not just... you know, scooping some dirt out of the way and then pulling it out. No. These guys wanted to recover the rocket to see if they got their altitude record or not, because all of the information that they needed to know was stored on the electronics in the rocket. So the next day they had to get a backhoe. They had to hire a backhoe from someplace in Argonia, Kansas to come out. They dug. They finally did get it out. And I don't remember how far the rocket down was. It was a good, you know, it was at least 10 or 12 meters down. They had to move Earth. It was more expensive to recover the damn rocket than it was to build it. Well, that's not entirely true. So anyway, yeah, I was standing there in the back of the pickup truck when our rocket exploded. So I saw it from quite a distance away, and it was impressive. It just went boom, and there was just this blue flame and blue, and it, yeah. Oh boy. That was a lot of money. That was a lot of money, but nobody cares. We all just laughed. That cool out, then done blowed up real good. Yeah, it was really fun. LDRS 18, it was really hot, really dry. It was great because you could just drink liters and liters and liters of Gatorade all day and never have to go to the bathroom because it was so hot. And every night what did we have for dinner? That was the weirdest thing. There we are out in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. What did we have for dinner every night? Me and Doug went to this teppanyaki restaurant. We went to a teppanyaki restaurant every single night and had the big giant meal, just drinking tons and tons of water. It was crazy. Yeah, so there was this really great teppanyaki restaurant in this small town next to Argonia, Kansas. What was the name of that other town? I don't even remember, but that's where our hotel room was. It was great. We blew up some very expensive rockets, and we had delicious Japanese steak dinners every single night.
Beef stroganoff, beef bourguignon, Irish beef stew, beef brisket, Chateaubriand, sauerbraten, roast beef, Catalonian beef ragu, Mongolian beef, chicken fried steak, steak Diane, grilled steaks balsamico, hamburgers, sizzling beef, spicy braised beef, barbecued beef ribs, beef Wellington, pepper beef, beef jerky, beef with broccoli, beef burritos, beef fajitas, beef tacos.
Yeah, a little beef Floyd there for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome. Yeah, so the big rocket blew up. That's okay. They do that sometimes. They just do that sometimes. You got to expect it. That rocket, the model that we built, that was going to go to a museum. It was museum quality. Not when we were done with it, though. Kaboom. If you'd like to see some footage of this rocket blowing up, well, I just happen to have some links that I'll drop into Com if I haven't already done so. If you would like to see these videos and you're not in Com but you want the links, just go ahead and email me, tobe@sdf.org, and I will send you the links. There's basically two. And I'm sure the Discovery Channel footage is out there somewhere. But I'm not gonna look for it. It's gonna take forever. But yeah, I've got two videos. One is a short video, it's just a couple of minutes long, and it's basically just the rocket blowing up. It's cute. And then there's another video that was made by Kai Michelson, one of the guys who was on the team. He also had a side business of making rocket videos. And so you can watch a good 2 hour and 15 minute video of LDRS. See a bunch of my friends, a bunch of people on the team, and you can even see me and Doug in the video. In this video, at the 2 hour, 10 minute, and 35 second mark, you can actually see me. Kai Michelson is talking about space mail and the space mail that we were putting in the rocket, and I'm standing right behind Kai. You can't really see me, but Doug is standing right there, and Doug turns and looks right at the camera. You can barely see me. You can see my profile, my face. I'm wearing my weird hat. I got my glasses on. It's just for a couple seconds. I appear for a lot longer in the Discovery Channel footage. There's a shot of me trying to attach a quick link inside a rocket body, and they're sticking a camera in my face. I'm like, what are you doing? But you can see my cool hat, the cool hat that I made. Oh, my cat came back. Hi, Peppa, what are you doing, being fluffy lumps? So, yeah, stories about rockets. I got lots of them. And you're not going to hear any more today because you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be here because I'm always here. It's what I do.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.